Out of the darkness and to your glorious battle.
Never lost the battle.
Never lost the battle.
You 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 never will.
You never will.
You never lost the battle.
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 You never will.
You never will.
You never lost the battle.
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 You never will.
You never will.
You never lost the battle.
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 You never will.
You never will. You can do all things.
What? Jesus. Foundation, the rock on which we stand, the one who lifted us up out of the miry clay, set our feet upon a rock, who set our feet to dancing, who took our garments of mourning and gave us oil of gladness in exchange. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and begin to open your mouth, and in your own words, tell him how good he is. Begin to thank him for the firm foundation that he is in our life, that he's been so gracious to us to give us his word, his promises, his commandments, the secret to life. Somebody said to me yesterday, I wish I could know the secret to life. I wish I could know the secret to how to do this thing right. Well, we have the answer. We have the answer. He's given it to us in his word. We have the answer right here this morning in the assembly of the believers. His presence is here. Take advantage of this moment. Take advantage of this moment and seek him in your own way. We love you, Lord. We love you. We bless your name, Jesus. A man who built a house on the sand, and a great storm came, and when it did, it blew the house away, destroyed it. But there was another man who built his house on the rock, and when the storm came, when trouble hit, when he didn't know what to do, when he didn't know where to turn, when it didn't work out at his job, when his school didn't go the way he thought it was going to go, when that sickness happened, he was not moved. He was not shaken. His house stayed firm. He stood firm on his foundation, and that's who we are. That's who we are. That's who we are. Come on, give him praise today. Give him a hand of praise. Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. The one who's given us victory, the one whom we stand firm. Hallelujah! 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 Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we praise your name. Jesus, we give you praise. Glory to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let's sing that one more time. I will build my life. Come on. Jesus. Somebody needs through today. Somebody needs breakthrough today. You need to sing this song out. You need to sing it loud. This is your moment. Come on, breakthrough today. Breakthrough. I release healing in this room. I declare chains broken in this room. I declare freedom in this room. Breakthrough. 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 Sing it out. Give him a hand of praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for this time of praise and worship in your presence. God, we thank you that you give us the victory. We thank you that you are our firm foundation, that we stand firm in you. And so, Lord, we ask that you would continue to move in this service in a powerful way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm so glad to be back in Ahoskie. It's good to be home. Praise God. I had the privilege of going with the youth group 2 weeks ago to summer camp in Summerton, South Carolina. And you're going to hear a little bit more about that next week. But we had one of our 8 students who went, gave his life to the Lord. Come on, let's give God a hand of praise. The angels are rejoicing in heaven whenever anyone gives their life to the Lord. We had 4 kids who rededicated their lives to Jesus, and every single one of them had some kind of breakthrough in their life. And so I'm excited for you to hear some more about that next week. And what do you think of this set here? It's an amazing job. Come on, let's give Pastor Gary and Pastor Miranda a hand and all the volunteers who have helped. So I want to welcome you to Carpenter Shop. If this is your first time here, make sure you stop by the Welcome Center in the foyer after the service. And at this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. There are several ways to give. You can do so on our My Church app. You can do so by text. You can do so by cash or check. And we invite you to make your way forward at this time to drop your offering in the buckets. God bless you as you give. Thank you.
Momentarily, you're going to see a video presentation for Vacation Bible School, and we want to recognize those who are volunteering. But Pastor Noli, could you join me back here on the platform this morning? Such an amazing day in which we live, where, you know, especially since post-COVID, there are people that were doing remote work prior to COVID, and thank God for technology. And I just commend Pastor Noli for the incredible work that he does for Carpenter Shop International Church administratively. I'll tell you, I'm so thankful for what you do. I really am. And I'm also thankful for the accomplishments that he has spent his time working on in his life. You know, it's never stopped with Pastor Noli. He just keeps on going and going. I think he's got the spirit of a Duracell battery here. Come on. Amen? No, I think he's got the spirit of God that says, hey, this is next. I'm 60 years old, and I'm asking you, okay, Lord, what's next? Amen. What's next? What do we do next? And I think if you posture yourself in a place with God, that you want the very best for your life and for the lives of those to whom he's called you to minister to, you'll always be asking yourself the question, okay, God, what do I do next? So you were not here when we recognized graduates, but what an accomplishment, man. Can you say a little bit about your degree so that the folk here online and in person would know what has happened in your life?
Thank you so much, Pastor. I really appreciate that. For the past 3 years, I've been studying at Yale University and recently received my Master of Divinity. And a lot of folks say to me, well, what does that mean? What's a Master of Divinity? And I always say, well, it's theology and religion. And we study who God is, what God is like. We study the church. What does it mean to be the church, and how do we do ministry in the most effective way possible? And it's been such a blessing to be around others who love the Lord and who want to know God and who are giving their lives to the work of the ministry. And so it's been an opportunity for me to really be built up, to find peers and friends who I can call on anytime, you know, and just folks that understand each other and that know what it means to be in ministry. And along the way, I've found mentors and professors that have really spoken into my life. And Pastor Wallace has been there every step of the way and has continued to be a constant presence and a mentor in my life. And so I want to thank you for that, Pastor Wallace. And thank you, Carpenter Shop, for letting me do that.
Amen. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Pastor Noli. And on behalf of Carpenter Shop Church, we want to recognize you as a graduate again this year, another level. Just go on. Don't stop there. Dr. Noli Hall. Come on. Let's go. Can we impart that into his mind today? And let's just believe God for whatever he has in store for Pastor Noli. Praise God. Thank you so much, man. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, we want to thank God for volunteers, too. You know, Pastor Joy said, I said, you noticed that camper there, and I was told the camper weighs a grand total of 10 pounds. Amen. I don't know that, and I'm not going to get in it to test it, but she said, wow, I wish it was plywood so we could play in it. Amen. Amen. But you know what? Without volunteers, we would never be able to accomplish what God places in the heart of Pastor Gary and Pastor Miranda. Never. And they always tell me, I always hear this thing like, yeah, next year we're going to scale back. You know, next year we're not going to go as far as we... How many of you just know that's just not true? Okay, come on. They always make it better. They always make it better. So, Pastor Miranda, we thank God for your leadership. You and Pastor Gary do a tremendous job. And many things that they do, you never see, you know. And I appreciate the hard work and the heart in which they put into everything that they do. Without volunteers, though, I remember when we did our planning meeting for the year, she marked out 2.5 weeks, 2 weeks, Family Life Center, nobody able to use it, and we marked it out, VBS prep. Because it literally takes 2 weeks or better to make something like this happen, to just prepare to minister to the kids that will come in this coming week, starting tomorrow night. So if you're a volunteer, if you helped in any way, you say, well, I didn't do a whole lot. No, Matt, listen, if you helped in any way or are going to help in any way, would you please stand this morning? Come on, stand up to your feet right where you are. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Come on, give them a hand, would you? Thank you so much. And let me pray for you, because, you know, to come in here every night, night after night after night, I mean, it gets very tiresome, especially after you're working all day. And I just want to pray for you that whatever you put your hands to this week, that God will somehow illuminate truth to you, that you're making a tremendous impact on the lives of children. Amen. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, God, for all that you have allowed us to do. I thank you, God, for the set. I thank you for the preparation. I thank you for the teaching that shall come. God, I thank you for every volunteer. And Lord, maybe even some that are saying, hey, I wonder if it's too late for me to get involved, that they would just say, Pastor Miranda, what can I do to help you? A night, two nights, whatever, God. I pray that you touch their hearts, because we want to be effective in presenting the love of Christ, the gospel of the Lord Jesus, to these children that come to us this week. We thank you for every volunteer, every act of preparation, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give them a hand one more time, would you? Thank you so much. And if you'd like to give, you know, hey, I know it's always expensive when we do this. It's never an inexpensive thing. So if you want to give, you say, hey, I should have given something to VBS. Just write a check, CSIC, or give online and put VBS on there, and it'll be most appreciated. This is always a costly thing. But, you know, what price can you put on touching souls for the Lord Jesus Christ? So it's a mission for us right here in our own Jerusalem. Amen. Also, speaking of mission, let me just call you to prayer this morning for Pastor Mike. He's not here this morning. He and Aiden, they were planning on being here, but ended up having to leave earlier. And they're headed to the airport, and they jump on a plane today and head back to the continent of Africa. So they'll be joining several on the team already there, some others showing up later. But a tremendous schedule of ministry already lined up, and a first-time experience for a grandson. Can you imagine that? How old is Aiden, Bonnie? 12 years old, going on a mission trip. Amen? And I'll tell you, I know what it did for me in 1994 when I took my first journey to the nation of India, and it was life-changing. And for those of you who've been on mission trips, you know what happens in your heart when you get on the foreign field and begin to share the love of Jesus. So, Father, right now, I just petition you, God, for divine safety. Divine safety. Lord, your word says that you give your angels a charge concerning us. And, Lord, your word says that they encamp round about those who love and fear the Lord. And so, God, we declare your word today that brings a shelter, a strong tower where we can run and find safety. We declare a Psalm 91 hedge over them in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for protection, free from disease, free from hardship, free from challenge and difficulty. And God, we pray that in the power of the Spirit, you would enable them to share the love of Jesus and to see the sick healed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise for that, would you? Praise God.
Guys, look at that. That's amazing.
Uh-huh.
Wow, look over there. Have you guys seen anything as massive as that?
Great.
Those cliffs are huge. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
Well, we're here. Looks like everyone else just got here too.
It's time to look up. There's more to life than what's on your screen.
Go off-road on the adventure of a lifetime and experience the greatness of God's love.
My God is strong and will never let go of me. Our God is great. Our God is great. He's an awesome God. Bigger than my wildest dreams. Monumental love. Eternal hope for you and me. He's an awesome God.
Explore colorful canyons of the Southwest from a rock-solid faith, and discover that God is monumental.
Amen. We petition you for prayers for effective Bible school this coming week. Praise God. Well, how many of you got a key when you came in the door this morning? If you didn't, please, maybe someone can help you with an usher or a greeter can help you get a key. If you got a key in your hand, I want you to just hold it in your hand. As we minister the word of God today, the Lord has given me a word that I believe is going to be helpful for us today, and I believe that God will speak to our hearts. I've titled the message, On Task at the Gates. On Task at the Gates. So I want to talk to you about remaining on task in your walk with God. You know, I have a great deal of concern myself about the church at large. I've met with numbers of leaders. I met with one just this past week for about 3 hours. Early in the morning, we met at 7:30, and for about 3 hours, we talked about the condition of today's church, the post-COVID church, the church that never came back. Come on. The church, you could have said amen right there. It would have been all right. All right? The church that somehow has become comfortable in just becoming a technological church. Amen? In fact, there are ministries out there today, and thank God for them. This is not a critical statement. But there are ministries out there today that have shifted and moved their whole dimension of ministry toward technology. In fact, one pastor said to me, he said, I'm not worried about the pews. I'm spending my energy, I'm spending my time, I'm spending my passion preaching to the nations and teaching people online who want to listen because it seems like people just don't want to show up anymore. You know, the Bible still says that we should not forsake assembling ourselves together. Amen? That's just the Word of God. The Bible says we should not forsake that. So I think it's important for us because I really believe deep in my heart that our relationship with God will release, somebody say release, will release out of us action that will say to ourselves, you know what, I need to get involved, I need to become engaged, I need to serve in VBS or whatever God calls you to do. And you and I are called to walk this walk of Jesus and to, here we go, guard our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we do. We guard our lives. It's important for us to make sure that we are examining ourselves. You know, Pastor Joy and I were talking about that earlier today. We're examining ourselves. We're constantly taking inventory, doing kind of a checklist of, hey, am I faithful in this area? Am I faithful in the other area? The Holy Spirit helps us to do that. And the Holy Spirit helps us not only to guard our own lives and to guard our own selves, but the Holy Spirit helps us to be empowered. He empowers us to share the gospel. You know, without the power of the Holy Spirit, the trip to Africa will be nothing but a journey. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, all of this work here on the platform and everything that's accomplished this week will be in vain. We must have the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive what? Power. Someone say power with me. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. That word is really strong in the original language. It's translated what? Martyr. You may even have to give your life for me. You may even have to die for me. So you'll be my witnesses. And notice the geographics of what he does here. He says in Jerusalem, this is our own Jerusalem right here, Ahoskie, North Carolina, northeastern North Carolina, stretch out a little farther in all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. And he's talking about here the word power means what? Dynamics. We need the dynamics of the Holy Spirit, not just our own ability, but our abilities coupled with the engaged power of the Holy Spirit, touch of the Holy Spirit, and God will help us to do that. But we have to stay on task. And I believe part of the focus can be realized if you understand what God wants to impart to you today. I want God to impart something to you through the preaching of the Word today. And I don't use that word just flippantly or lightly. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, he said, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. Look at what he says there. I long to see you. Paul says, I want to come see you in person that I may impart to you some spiritual gift today. I'm here today. I've enjoyed being away. I enjoyed visiting my family. And, you know, so I didn't know you were out there. Yeah, we don't put everything on Facebook anymore. I don't think it's the smart thing to do. It's just not. So we've spent the last week in Seattle just spending time with family and connecting with our son and our new grandbaby that we had only seen one time. And so it was a powerful time, but I also was able to make to the gospel while I was there. And so, listen, God wants you to be empowered. He wants you to be impacted and empowered, but he wants you to remain in focus. And so I'm glad to be back here so that I can impart something to you. Come on, somebody say amen. Pastors want to impart something to you today, to your spirit through the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that you may be challenged and changed. I'm confident that when this service comes to a close today, that we'll meet you at the altar and you can receive from God a divine impartation of what God wants to do in your life. I believe that. Those of you that are watching online, we're grateful for your presence today. Thank God for technology. I'm glad you're here, and I pray that you will receive also. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, mighty and strong, we come before you today declaring success in the name of Jesus. Success in the release of God's Word through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Success, God, that it will land in a place that is fertile ground, that people would be recipients of all that you have to say this morning in Jesus' strong name. And everybody said, amen. Thousands of years ago, there was an ancient city named Troy. Troy was on the coast of Asia, across from the sea, from the Greek city of Sparta. And in those days, people would build walls around their city. If you've ever traveled out of the country, especially if you've ever been to Israel, you know that the city of Jerusalem has what? It has walls around it. Huge, magnificent walls that were built. Walls were built around the city for what reason? To protect them. You and I are used to going from city to city and county to county, and we see a sign along the side of the road, and usually it's green in color. It's put there by the Department of Transportation, and it tells you that you're crossing in from one county to another. Welcome to Bertie County. If you're coming this way, welcome to Hertford County. But in these days, in biblical days, cities built walls around them for protection. Those cities and those walls also had huge gates for entrance into the city, so that at a time of war, maybe someone was battling, trying to overtake the city, they would literally keep the gates closed to keep the enemy and the intruders from coming in. The walls around the city of Troy were very high, and they were very strong. And according to the legend of the Trojan horse, for 10 long years, the Greeks and the people of Troy had been at war. 10 long years. But the Greeks could not get over their wall, and the Trojans could not drive the Greeks away. And year after year they fought, and year after year, neither side won the victory. So one day, Odysseus, the Greek general, he has a tricky idea. You see, when an enemy was willing to admit defeat, we've always heard people say, oh, he waved the white flag of surrender. But when an enemy was willing to admit defeat, what the enemy would do was gather a large gift, and they would make that gift as a presentation to the enemy, and they would say in this way, we're done. We're done with this. We're backing away. And so they built this large wooden horse, and inside it was hollow. So inside of this horse, they hid 30 of their strongest warriors, 30 of their sharpest warriors, and they put them inside of this huge horse. And so when they finished it, they rolled it up to the wall, and it was an indication to the group, to the Trojan people, hey, are the Greeks giving up? Are they announcing their defeat? So then the Trojans, as they dragged the horse inside the city gates, and then of course they shut the doors, they begin such a celebration. Can I just tell you, while you're goofing off sometimes, you have to be careful. While you're just out there doing things that, you know, maybe you shouldn't be doing, you need to be careful, because those are times when your enemy can slip in, okay? And so while they're out there celebrating, you know, maybe they didn't do their job that night. Maybe they didn't position the men on the wall and on the ramparts like they should have. And while they're in this long celebration, because now supposedly they've won the war, these 30 warriors emerge out of the Trojan horse, and they open the gates of that city, and the Greeks came in and besieged the city. They took it over. And so you have to be careful when you do things like that, when you let the walls down, when you don't watch out for your gates. They wreaked havoc on the city, and that was the end of the Trojan War. And I begin to think about this story, and I begin to think about its application to us today. What makes it in through the gates affects our city. You and I are gifted with gates. We have gates here on the ears. We have gates in the eyes. We have gates to our lives, but we have to be very careful that we guard our gates so that we don't allow the enemy to come in. Oh, I know some of you have Ring at your door. How many of you have a little Ring device at your door that no matter where you are, you'll hear that thing go off and you'll say, oh, let me see who it is. I did this several times just this past week. Oh, it's just UPS. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You have this device on your house. Some of you have SimpliSafe. Some of you have neither one, so you don't know what I'm talking about, okay? But I have it on my phone and wherever I am. And in fact, it's such a blessing, I can even push the microphone, and while someone is standing at the door that I may recognize, and I'll say, hey, it's Wallace, how are you? And they'll be looking all around like, where's he at? I'll say, look, I'm not home. I'm in Seattle this week visiting my family. But listen, could you stop by one day next week? Okay, so there we have this device so we can easily tell what is going on outside the home. But how many of you know the devil doesn't operate that way? Come on. He never just knocks on the door of your life and he says, hey, it's me, just letting you know I'm getting ready to attack your marriage. The devil doesn't work that way. Hey, it's me, I just want to let you know I'm getting ready to wreak havoc in the life of your teenager, and I'm going to introduce him to the substance called cocaine. No, the devil doesn't do that. He prowls around. He stalks. He looks for victims. That's why the Apostle Peter said this, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be alert and of sober mind. If you look at those words in the original language, they're so powerful. Be sober. Be of sober mind. Be alert. That word gives the indication in the original language to look all around you. It brings us the English word circumspect. Are you getting what I'm saying? You need to be looking around on all sides. He said you need to be careful. Be alert. Be of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He wants to get into the gates of your city. He wants to get into the gates of your life, your mind. And let's be honest, we have let some things in our gates that we should have never let in. Come on. How many to be honest and say so? We've let some things in our lives. We've let some things in our home that we should not let in our home. And Jesus told us about this as well. Listen, he said in John 10:10, the thief comes only but to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, but I have come that you might have life. One translation says, and that more abundantly. But he says, I want you to have it to the full. Listen, friends, listen to me this morning. This is why it's important for you to guard the gates of your life. If you're not sober in mind, if you're not alert, if you're not looking circumspectly in all ways, the enemy will deceitfully get in. Here we go. Listen to this. And he will establish strongholds. Then you really have a struggle on your hands. Ask the question, what is a struggle? Well, a struggle is Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12. Look at what he says. He says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against, here we go, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Somebody say, in the heavenly realms. That's where the war is. What is your position? What is our position as a believer? Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 6. And God raised us. Come on, this is us. God raised us up with Christ. And look what he's done. He seated us with him. With who? With Christ. In where? In the heavenly realms. So you are seated with God in Christ in the heavenly realms. Where's the struggle taking place? In the heavenly realms. That's your struggle. That's your position. What is your power? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4. The weapons of our warfare. See, you need to take ownership in this. This is a promise for who? This is a promise for me. The weapons of our warfare are not the weapons of the world. One translation says they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Instead, they have divine power to do what? To demolish strongholds. You see, we get in our little skirmishes here on earth. We get in our little arguments here in this life. A lot of times it's because of open gates. It's at the gate level of our lives. Can I just tell you something? Stop squabbling on social media. Stop arguing on Facebook. Stop entangling yourself with worthless, useless arguments that will produce absolutely nothing. I can't tell you how many times I've posted something on Facebook, and then somebody from the kingdom, not somebody from the world, somebody from the kingdom will jump on a statement. Well, I don't really know if that's true or not. I believe. And next thing you know, you got an argument. Next thing you know, you don't even know it, but they've unfollowed you because you're an ungodly influence. Okay? Listen, that's not where our struggle is. Your struggle is not on Facebook. I heard somebody say the other day, yeah, I'm not on Facebook anymore, and thank God. I said, why did you say that? They said, because my life is so much less complex because I'm away from social media. Come on. Some people here have never been on Facebook in your life. You're blessed. You say, well, Pastor, why are you on there? Because my position is to constantly, consistently offer something. Today, I put an invitation to be here on Facebook. Today, I said, hey, pick up your key at the door. Okay? But I'm not getting on Facebook to argue with you on doctrine. If you have a doctrinal issue, Google or send Pastor Nolia. He's ready for questions, okay? All right. Brother, I empower you. In fact, I'm going to start referring all of mine to him, all right? Okay. Wow, a fresh Master of Divinity from Yale nonetheless. Okay, I'll just send it all to him, okay? No, I'm being a little lighthearted here, but I'm just telling you, folks, stop arguing. Stop the squirmishes on Facebook. I love it when I get ready to post something and the Holy Spirit says, don't do that. Just delete that. And so if you're not careful, if you're not positioned on the gates in the Spirit, you know what? You can be pulled in to some worthless, useless argument that won't produce anything at all. Your battle is on social media. Your battle is not even with your family, and that's why you didn't go to the reunion this year. Your battle is not with flesh and blood. Your battle is really taking place in the heavenly realms where you are seated with Christ, and you have the divine power to demolish strongholds. Can I get an amen this morning? You have the divine power to demolish the strongholds that try to take root in your life. Amen. So let's look at this idea from a little bit different perspective. We're looking at the book, Old Testament of Isaiah, chapter 21 and chapter 22. It's in the context of Babylon and Jerusalem. Jerusalem, as you know, is what? The city of God. It is the place of peace, the place of righteousness, a holy city. Jerusalem represents what? The kingdom of God. You see, Babylon is not just a place, but rather it is an influence, a culture. Babylon is representative of the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of evil, the kingdom of wickedness. Babylon in the Hebrew means gate of God, and it's evident that it's a counterfeit for God's eternal city. It is a counterfeit perspective of God's eternal truth of Jerusalem. We're in a battle today between two cities, two forces, two ideologies. We're in a battle today between Jerusalem and Babylon. And so what you're feeling in your lives and in your homes today is a clash between good and evil. What's going on in your head today may be a clash between Jerusalem and Babylon. What's going on in the nation today is a clash between the forces of good and the forces of evil. All you have to do is turn Roe versus Wade over, and now we have uncovered a whole new battle, okay? It's not over with. It's not over with. The battle will always be raging. And remember, God is calling you to exercise your authority at your gates, to be on task, to understand where your struggle is, to understand what your position is, and to understand where your power does come from. So let's take a look at Isaiah's prophecy. The first thing you have to do is go to your position of authority. Go to your position of authority. Isaiah 22, verses 15 to 17. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Go say to this steward, to Shebna, the palace administrator, verse 16. What are you doing here? And who gave you permission? Notice what he says here. To cut out a grave for yourself here, hewing your grave on the height and chiseling your resting place in the rock. Shebna is a representative of a stronghold, but Shebna had no authority because Babylon had already been defeated. Babylon had already been defeated, but Babylon had placed Shebna there on the height, chiseling out a resting place in the rock. Shebna is representative of the stronghold. You see, we must understand, you and I as believers, we've got to understand as the people of God that we're still operating under spiritual strongholds. There are still demonic forces that have already been defeated on the cross of Calvary when Jesus shed his blood, that they try to come into our lives and they try to set up positions of authority based on lies. Why would Shebna cut a dwelling place out in the tomb? Because that was Shebna's way of saying, I'm going to be here, notice here, for the rest of your life. You're struggling in this area. There are people that are listening to me this morning. You have struggles in your life. Some of you are struggling with vices. Your vice may be lying and deceiving. Your vice may be alcohol. Your vice may be a drug or a narcotic. Your vice may be sexual. Listen, you are struggling with strongholds, and that's what strongholds do. They come into your life, here we go, and they set up camp, and they say to you, you're always going to struggle with this. This is always going to be your weak spot. I don't get much amen this morning. Come on. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth because you know what the truth does? The truth sets God's people what? Free. It sets you free. You need to understand you are in a battle. You are waging warfare against the enemy of your soul, and he tries his very best to set up strongholds in your life. Shebna had planned on camping there for a long time, bringing that stronghold. But I like what Isaiah the prophet said. He said it calls for you to go to your place of authority. And look at what he says in the first part of verse 16a. Who do you think you are? What are you doing here? That's what you and I ought to be saying to the strongholds, especially those who are struggling with generational things. You've heard the guy before who was an alcoholic say, well, you know, my daddy always drank, and his daddy always drank. If you're not careful, you know what? The sins of the fathers will visit down through the generations. That's the Bible, my friends. I'm not here sharing news that I got on the internet somewhere. I'm not here sharing something that'll make your day go a lot smoother, you know, in terms of travel or whatever. I'm not doing some strange thing to say, oh, you know, get yourself positioned. Things are going well. You know, people read those crazy things. What do you call them? Horoscopes. Going to be a great day for travel. Well, any day for me is a great day for travel. Okay, I'll take one any day. Come on, where you want to go? So I'm not sharing news with you like that in some generality. I'm sharing you the truth of God's word. Here's one who comes in and says, who do you think you are? And that's what you and I ought to be saying to the strongholds in our life. Who do you think you are trying to visit this generation? I refuse. I draw a line. Sin, and by the blood of Jesus, I take authority over this alcohol spirit. Amen. And I break it in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what we're called to do. You don't call the pastor. You can call him and say, hey, pray for him, but you know what? He can't break it in your life. He can teach you how to break it in your life, and he can pray with you that it will be broken in your life. But you have to have a willingness for that thing to be broken in your life. You have to say to Shebna, what are you doing here? You got to go in Jesus' name. And then, you know, you got to be careful. You can't just try to say, well, you know, I'm just going to see if I can manage it. I'm just going to see if I can manage it. Can I just tell you something? You can't manage sin. It will always try to have dominion over you. You know, it would be like you're in your house, okay? What if you got out of church today and you went to, I mean, there's only a couple of choices, right? You go to Los Amigos and get lunch, or, you know, you say, hey, I'm just going to do a salad, so I'm going to go out to Beachwood, or maybe I'll just go through the drive-thru and get a hamburger. You really don't have a lot of choices here. But you go out to lunch, and after you finally get home, you go to your house, and guess what? Somebody's there. You walk into your house and there's some dude laid back in your lazy boy, remote in his hand. He's already got Netflix rolling. What are you going to say to him? You're going to walk up to him and say, "Who do you think you are? You better get your," and you might use some other language that may not be appropriate, but "you better get out of my house." Why? Because this is whose house? This is my house. You've got the deed to the property. Can I just tell you something? Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He's got the deed of your life and the deed of my life. And every time some stronghold tries to come in and settle down and build a grave in your life, you have the full authority to go in and say, "You know what? In the name of Jesus, get out of my life. Get out of my house. Get out." But you better not say, "Hey, get out of my chair. But hey, I got a camper in the backyard, okay? And you can just stay there." Don't try to manage your sin. Get rid of your sin. Because you know what? It's just like I said earlier in the message. Jesus already died for your sin, okay? Sin shall no longer have what? Dominion over you, because Jesus Christ already shed his blood for you. You should not be battling with those things, because the enemy comes and he tries to oppress you. He tries to take control of you, but you have to take control over him. Why? Because you're seated with Christ. Where? In the heavenly realms. And you have power to do what? To demolish strongholds. Amen? God's giving you the power. Can I just remind you this morning that Jesus Christ has purchased that and paid for it for your life, for my life, with his blood. Amen? Not only do you have to go to your position of authority, secondly, you attack and pull down the stronghold. Isaiah 22, 17 to 19. Beware, the Lord is about, look at what he says here. Beware, the Lord is about to take firm hold of you. Beware, the Lord is about to hurl you away, you mighty man. He will roll you up tightly. I think of Reynolds Wrap here. He will roll you up tightly like a ball and throw you into a large country. There you will die, and these chariots you were so proud of will become a disgrace to your master's house. I will depose you from your office, and you will be ousted from your position. Remember, this is a position of what? Position of authority. Verse 19 says, I will depose you from your office and you will be ousted from your positions. How many wrestling fans do I have here? How many remember those Monday nights? Are you getting ready to rumble? Come on, you remember that? Can I just tell you something? God is into wrestling. He is. You know why? Because I see in the Word of God that he said, listen, I'm getting ready to take a firm hold of you. I'm getting ready to whirl you around here. Remember when you were a kid growing up and you were this big, but your little brother, your little sister was only this big, and you would knock them down and grab them by the ankles, and it wouldn't be long before you would be whirling them around just like this. Get a picture of what God says he will do to the enemy of your soul, to the strongholds in your life. I'm getting ready to whirl you around and roll you up like a ball. That's what you have to say to strongholds. That's what you have to say. You have to attack and pull them down. I will depose you from your office, and you'll be ousted from your position. Remember what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons of our warfare are not the weapons of the world. Instead, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Look at what he adds in verse number 5. We demolish strongholds and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we take, where does it start? It starts in the mind. And we take captive every thought and make it what? Obedient to Christ. You have to walk in spiritual authority in your life. Have you ever just been thinking and your mind just wanders into crazy places? One guy said this, "Where in the hell did that come from?" You got your answer. Where in the hell did that come from? It comes from hell. It came from hell. It came from the forces of hell. Those that are seated in heavenly realms trying to wreak havoc on God's people. You know what? You have to be on guard. because there will be thoughts that will come to your mind. And Paul said to the church at Corinth, you have the divine power to demolish them, and you can take every spirit and make it what? Obedient to Christ. You know, I've noticed my wife and I get frequent text messages. We'll be riding down the road sometimes. She'll say, what in the world? And it'll pop up there. Oh, I'm just, you know, this is so-and-so. I'm looking for a good time tonight. And I'll say, boom, there it is. It's on mine too. Simultaneously, it'll hit her phone, hit my phone. Some of you may be noticing in husbands and wives, hits your phone, hits their phone. And all you got to do is just punch here. Just click here. And you'll open yourself up a pornographic journey. Okay? And you'll open yourself up to a hacking position. Okay? So you have to use wisdom. Listen, if you don't know the person calling you, don't answer the phone. Hello? Oh, this is Social Security Administration. They're not calling you. This is the IRS. The IRS will never call you. This is Southern Bank. They're not going to call you. Even your local bank. Now, that if you have an issue personally in your account or something, they may call you. But the headquarters is not going to call you. They're just looking for ways to get in, okay? Just little ways. I was riding with someone the other day, and they had their telephone. Hang on a second, Pat. Hello? Yes, this is him. We're riding along two more. Hello? Hello? And I finally said to him, I said, look, stop answering your phone. Stop it. Because if you look at your face of your phone and you don't recognize the number, I don't have anything for you right now. Leave me a message, okay? Leave me a message. I'll call you back. We're in a world today that the enemy has created ways to creep into your life and establish strongholds. It's no longer that, you know, I said he was sneaky in the beginning. It's no longer just open, blatant ways, but it's sneaky ways where the enemy tries to come in. And you've got to go and establish your authority, and you've got to attack and pull down the stronghold. And thirdly, you got to take the keys, okay? Take the keys, close the gates of destruction in your life, and open the gates of blessing. Look at Isaiah 22. Verses 20 to 22. Notice what he says here. In that day, I will summon my servant Eliakim, son of Hilkiah. Aren't you glad we grew up in days like Wallace, Bob, Jim, Sally? He says, in those days, I will summon my servant Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with your robe. Look at what he does here. And I will fasten your sash around him and hand your authority over to him. And he will be a father to those who live in Jerusalem and to the people of Judah. And I will place on his shoulder the key to the house of David. And what he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. Listen, when you came today, you were given a key. You know what keys do? Keys open up, keys lock down, keys opens, keys close. The passage here is really a passage on authority. Isaiah said, I'm going to clothe him with your robe. I'm going to establish authority. Isaiah declared the prophetic words against Shebna. Shebna has no place in Jerusalem's future. Shebna has to go. The doors have to be closed. Let me remind you, when you came to Jesus, you came to the one who has the keys. Adam and Eve used to have the keys, but they gave the keys to who? The devil. He came in very deceitfully in the Garden of Eden. You know the story. And Adam and Eve gave the keys of authority to the devil. But Adam and Eve sinned. And when they sinned, they literally released the keys of authority over to the devil when he came and tempted them, and they followed his directive. But the good news is that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, the maker of heaven and earth and everything in them, gave his life on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood, was buried and was resurrected, descended to the lower parts of the earth, and took the keys to the kingdom of God. And he has given you the keys. One day, Jesus took his disciples to a little retreat by the ocean, Mediterranean Sea. Been there and done that. Mediterranean Sea. And he's having a little discussion with them. Who do men say that I am? Well, some say you're John the Baptist or Elijah, one of the prophets. And he looks at them and he says, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter, who knows that the Lord Jesus has kind of a cunning kind of way of double-crossing his kids sometimes, says, I don't know if I should say anything or not. But Peter speaks up and he says, you know what? I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, man, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon you, Peter, I'm going to build my church. In other words, Jesus gave authority. And he said, listen, Matthew 16, verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth, hear me, church, and whatever you loose on earth will be bound and loosed in the same way in heaven. Amen? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You have the power and you have the authority because Jesus Christ has given it to you. It's been placed upon you. You have his authority to close the gates in your life, the gates of destruction. You have the authority to come against those. You ever lost your keys? I've lost mine before. I mean, keys are a big deal, you know? Keys are a big deal. I've always got keys on me. Always. You got keys on you. But if you ever lose them, when I've lost my keys, it produces two things. Number one, I get angry. Number two, I blame other people. Okay? Joy, where'd you put my keys? You see? Where did you put my keys? I become angry and I blame other people. Can I tell you something? When you lose your keys of authority in the spiritual realm, you become angry and you blame other people. Let that sink in for just a second. I've sat in counsel with many a person in my life if I never do another one. And there's always, you know, there's always something that comes up. Well, you know, how did this begin? How did this start? You know, where did this come from? And it's easy, very easy, to not take personal ownership. It's very easy to become angry. Angry at your mom, angry at your dad, angry at your spouse, angry at yourself, angry at God. And it's very easy to blame other people. Well, how many of you know every tub stands, home, help me here. Every tub stands on its own legs. Have I got anybody over 50 in the house this morning? Every tub stands on its own legs. Some of us today are not on task. Some of us today that are listening, you're not on task in your role as a believer in the child of the Son of God. You're not on task. You're not really on assignment because you have allowed some things to creep in your life. You have not taken the spiritual authority that God gave you, and you have not closed the gates of destruction in your life. You still think you can handle, oh, I can do this. I can handle, I'm just a social drinker. Okay. Well, what are you doing raising a child and they're just watching you be a social drinker? What if they have such a strong propensity to alcohol that they're not a social drinker, but you just raised yourself an alcoholic? Oh. See, I never thought about it that way. Yeah, it's just a social thing. It's just an unlocked gate for the enemy to come in. It's just an unlocked gate. Man, I should have had Zach share part of this message with me. When he was honest with me and his mom one time, I should have had him just, hey, why don't you share a part of the story? You know, I just knew Zach was drinking alcohol. But I just thought that that was the same container in the refrigerator last week that it was the week before. And God totally set Zach free from alcohol. Almost 3 years now? 4 years. 4 years. Not a drop. 4 years. Okay? When God just supernaturally ripped it out of his life. Okay? I mean, hey, he's a grown man. What am I doing doing this? That's saying, what are you doing drinking beer? He's grown. If that's what he wanted to do, you know, that's a choice he had to make. I wasn't going to help anything by saying, hey, what's all these long necks doing in your refrigerator? I just thought it was the same container until he said to me face to face one day, Dad, There was a time when I was drinking a full case every day of my life. Every day. As soon as I left the shipyard, make a stop. And I would wait till all the last one was gone and go to bed and then pop out of there at 3:30 in the morning and go back to work again. Because Pastor Joy and I had told them many times, listen, alcohol don't have a good history in our family. Pastor Joy's got uncles. Her mother was one of 17 children. Okay? And out of those 17 kids, the majority of them died a death in a very tragic way, some of which was a result of alcohol. And we trained our kids and we told them, listen, our family don't have a good track record with alcohol. So some of you that are sitting here today, pastor offended me. Come on, grow up, man. Grow up. I'm not offended you. That thing is already in your life. You already know about it. And the Holy Spirit, if you're honest with yourself, the Holy Spirit has already dealt with you about it before I ever said anything. Well, it's not, literally, it's not my, just on holidays. Okay. Well, keep raising your children on holidays. And let your kids keep watching you. And you'll teach them, you'll socialize them on the way you behave in life. Okay? Listen, it doesn't matter to me if what I say here this morning drives 2/3 of you away. I'm not here to be your Mr. Nice Guy. That really doesn't matter to me. Yes, my heart is grieved because we have empty seats today. Because I don't think we're doing our job. I feel like in many ways I'm pastoring an apathetic church. Because guess what? The pandemic has kicked the church in the butt. And you can't talk to a single pastor who doesn't feel the same way. We're apathetic. We look at things too casually, too loosely, too just, maybe they'll come back. Why haven't you gone and got them? I sat down, every week of my life, and I send text messages. Hey, hope to see you this week. Hope to see you this week. Some of you get them. Some of you that are faithful get them. I send them out to, there's so-and-so. Let me text him and just remind them, got a good word for Sunday. Probably 2/3 of you got a text this week. Hey, join me this week. I'm preaching a message called On Task. Okay? Because I see the church today, not Carpenter Shop. I see the church today as a whole as apathetic. She's not on task, Mama. She's not. She's not on the gates, positioned up on the gates of authority, taking watch over the city. And for a church to be positioned on the gates, holding the keys of authority in their hands, every individual in the church needs to be on task. Everyone. Now, we don't do that because we don't want to teach our kids something that may be subject to their demise. Well, the Bible says wine does good like a medicine. That's not what you're doing. Okay? That's not what you're doing. You're only doing it for social reasons anyway. You come to the table, you go out to a restaurant to eat, the first thing they ask you, can I get you something to drink? Let's start this thing off right. You know, let's get your thing going here because you guys are getting ready to rock and roll here and have a party. Hey, you got a beautiful family. Don't you want a drink? Oh, yeah, they're only $5 or $6 a piece anyway. Go ahead and run up your tab, you know, way, way up there. After you drink two, it's easy to buy some more. Okay? It's time church get on task. It's time believers get on task. There's just some things I will not allow in my life. I just won't allow. Listen, some of you just wear HBO out, watching movies that you have no business watching. We had one this week. Hey, we got to turn this off. Turn this thing away. Because they are doing their dead level best to slip things into you, into your home, okay? And no, the kids won't watch it. They were in the bedroom, and they heard every GD and every MF and every this. They heard every word coming through the speakers in your house. But they were in the bedroom. You're stupider than I thought you were. Take the stronghold and say to Shebna, what are you doing here in my life? Get out of my life. Nobody's going to serve God for you. And you say, well, Pastor, he goes out of town, he always comes back fired up. Listen, maybe I need to go out of town for a month. Because listen, friends, it's the truth. It's just the truth. So if you have keys of authority that you are able to lock the gates of destruction, then you're also able to unlock gates of blessing. Amen? You're able to unlock gates of blessings. This is a prophetic word from Isaiah to Jerusalem concerning Babylon. And the enemy of your soul wants and desires for you to forsake your gates. He wants you to forsake your gate. He wants you to just be casual. Just, hey, you know, I know, but I got this. No, you don't. You don't have it. You don't have it. You can't control. You can't manage sin. I don't know, Pastor. I hear what you say. I love you, but it's all right. I'm responsible, okay? There's a responsibility on my life to when I stand in this sacred desk to tell you the truth, okay? Remember me telling you a story a few weeks ago. Pastor Joy is responsible for a lot of people coming to Carpenter Shop over the years because of people that she met during hospice, her hospice service time. And she had one of them plainly tell her one day, oh, I can't come to your church. She said, I go to mine because I can drink and party and I can have those, that kind of life in my church, but not in yours. That's tough. But it's the truth. And I'm not here today to drop the hammer of condemnation. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm here today to stand on the gates and shout to you this morning. Listen, be on task. Be on task. Be on task with your life. You're raising kids. You're teaching them, socializing them powerfully how you live a life as a Christian. I just thank God that the gospel, the power of the gospel, penetrated the life of my youngest son, Zach. And we weren't talking to him, he can tell you. We weren't saying to him, I never said a word to him. What are those beers doing in your refrigerator, man? I never said a word to him. But Zach had a moment when the Holy Ghost came into his heart and said no. And he turned away from it and has been in many an environment where it was available and expected. You're not going to drink one? Available and expected. But he turned away. In a crowd one day of our family, we were at a restaurant. Waitress comes to the table. You know, they do their thing, as I said a moment ago. Can I get y'all some drinks? Oh, y'all look like you're celebrating tonight. And we were. It was Zach's 21st birthday. Y'all look like you're celebrating tonight. The whole family's there. Yeah, it's his 21st birthday. Ah, well, I know what you want then. I know what you want then. And out of nowhere, Zach makes a bold statement. He says, no, I don't need that. I have an issue with alcohol. And the rest of the family goes, you do? You know, I have an issue with alcohol. And it was quiet there for a few moments. cannot give water with lemon, water with lemon, water with lemon. You know, it's got quiet. Everybody ordered their beverages. I can't tell you, Zach, how thankful I am that I didn't have to one day go to a hospital because you were in a wreck. That I didn't have to say, well, you know, we got him in a program. We got him in a program, and just pray for us. Well, he's gone through Teen Challenge twice, but he just can't seem to shake it, Israel. I appreciate it if you'd pray for him. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Come on. I'm just calling the church to be on task. Be on task in your own heart. This is not an easy word. You think I enjoy this kind of thing? Prophetic words, strong words are always hard, Pastor Bernie. Tell them. They are. They're always hard words. But can I just tell you something? God's calling me on task too. I get it before you do. Make sure. Clean this up. Make sure. Before you ever hear a message, I've already got it. Okay? And I could easily say, well, you know, I don't want to do all that this morning because I don't want to offend anybody. I'd rather offend you than see your life go a different direction. You're in charge of the gates of your soul. You go to your position of authority. Musicians, join me. You attack and you pull down the strongholds. You take your keys and you close the doors of destruction. And you expect peace, security, and generational blessings because you've rightly handled the strongholds of your life. Would you take your key this morning? And would you stand with me and would you just hold your key up? Not real high. Just don't wear your arm out. Just rest your arm on your side and just hold your key upward. And would you allow the Holy Spirit to just speak to your heart right now? Let him call your name, Wallace. You got the key. This is what I want you to close in your life. I want you to close these doors of destruction in your life. Just let the Holy Spirit just minister for a moment, would you? Just let him minister. Let him close the doors. Let him speak to you, because you know what? You say, well, I don't know if I can do this or not. 287-7572. I'll take your call anytime. Text me. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Pastor, I got this stronghold. I got a Shebna that seemed to have dug a grave in my life, and I can't get it out. All of us have things we deal with. Well, I bet he was talking about me. He saw me on Facebook. No. I don't have time to look at Facebook like that. I make my entrances quick. Sometimes somebody will say to me, hey, did you see that? No, plus I have over 5,000 friends. It's a rarity that I'm going to see your feed. I got to sit there a long time and scroll a long way down before I see everybody's feed. So I'm not picking on anybody. Okay. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? Gates of destruction that need to be closed. And gates of blessing that need to be opened. And I just invite you to a serious place. Just invite you to the altar. Just come and stand in his presence. Just stand in his presence. And don't break your train of thought with the Holy Spirit. Just let him keep speaking to you. Come on. just crowd in, and just stand in His presence. There's something about collective gathering that's powerful. There's something about collective gathering that's just powerful. What song do you guys have on your heart today? Come on, just come on in closely. Come on in, tighten on up and come on in. Come on in closely. Come on in closely. Stretch on out there, come on. Stretch on in, plenty of room. Plenty of room, just gather in His presence. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hey, man, I like this song. Can I sing this? Can I sing this? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made, and it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. Could I get some of you ministers, if you would, just grab some oil there on the sides in the cubicles there, and just walk through this crowd and just freshly anoint the people of God today. Come on, keep on singing it. Just freshly anoint the people of God today. Let's believe God that He's revealing to us some of the things that we need to close in our lives. It's not adding any value to my spiritual walk. It's not adding any value to my life. I take authority over that. I close the gate, but I open gates of blessing. Lord, I'm not going to pass this along to anybody else in my family. It's over with. It's over with. There was a time in my life when I started recognizing something that I had noticed in my family, something that I had noticed in my mom and dad, in that level, my family, my immediate family. And I said, you know what? I don't like this. I don't like this. Brian, you know what I did? I just went like that. I drew myself a line. And I declared, I said, devil, I will not be like that. I declare today, I will not. What were you doing, Pastor? I was closing the doors that would be destructive. And I was opening doors that would be a blessing. Come on, just worship Him. Receive that impartation today. Receive that impartation today. What impartation? An impartation of the reminder of the divine power to demolish strongholds in your life. If you need a deliverance today, come on, raise your hand. I'll come right to you. If you're struggling with something, Pastor, I want it over with, raise your hand. I'll come right to you. Today's the day of deliverance. Today's the day of blessing. Today's the day of peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All about you, Lord.
All about you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lord.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've done.
Hallelujah.
When it's all about you.
All about you, Lord.
All about you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Some of you need to say goodbye to it. It's gone, okay? It's gone. I'm not even going to let you live in the basement. I'm not going to put you somewhere in the corner of my house. You got to get out. Can I just stay in the basement? No. No. You're going out of my house. What are you doing here? Come on. What are you doing here? Get out of my house. Come on. Some of you are going to have to get radical with it now. Get out of my house. Oh, bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord.
It's all about you. All about you, Jesus.
All about you. Sheep up, Uncle Sunday. If you're here today, let me just say this. Listen, we're family, guys. We're family. I just sat here and placed quiet things about my family in front of you, okay? My son, Zachary, okay? I'm sure he wasn't looking for that. But the reason he walks in victory today is because not because of his own strength. You say, well, he's a strong guy. No, 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 not that kind of strength. He walks in victory today because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, Zach, I want you to come right here. Stand right here. Somebody give him oil. Give him oil. And turn around and face these people. If you admit this morning, Pastor, I struggle with a little alcohol too. Let me just tell you, your heart should be beating right now. Just should be beating a little faster. If that's you, just step out of your seat and let Zach anoint you today. And ask God to just snatch that vice out of your life. Come on. Come on. Just say, hey, that's me, Pastor. I don't need to mess with this any longer. You say, well, I hate to do so because I don't want the pastor to know it. Can I just tell you? I already know it. Okay? I already know it. Some of you wear it sometimes, okay? I already know it. I just want to get out of this. I don't want to mess with alcohol anymore. Come on. Here's your chance. Here's your chance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Come on. He's waiting for you to step. Just work your way right down here. He's waiting for you to step out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. God loves you. He loves you, man. And he's giving you keys of authority. Take this key, put it on your regular key ring. Hang it around your neck. Put it on a bracelet. do something to give you a physical reminder that you've been given a power in the Holy Spirit in heavenly places to come against strongholds. All right? Come against strongholds. I got the keys right here. Next time you think about it, next time you're tempted, I got it. I got it. God, give me the authority. Anybody else? I'm Pastor, I'm struggling with alcohol. I just want to get rid of it. There are others, I know there are. I'm just asking, how long are you going to do this? How long? How long are you gonna keep doing this? How long? Maybe there's another vice. Maybe there's something that you say, Pastor, I just need somebody to touch and agree with me today. Come on, just come. Let's come. We'll agree with you. God will help you. All about you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Noli, would you come and close us out here this morning?
Father, we thank you for keeping us on track. God, I thank you for the holiness that's being imparted all across this room today. Holy Spirit, would you keep us focused? Show us the way that we might walk in it. Give us strength and courage to say no to the enemy and yes to Jesus. Fill us afresh, Father. As we go from this place, let us carry that fire with us to minister to our families, to our friends, and to our places of influence. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you as you go.